building our house on the rock. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
The scene before us in Nehemiah chapter 8 is a fascinating one. In some ways, it's a tragic one. The nation had been completely hauled off to Babylon because they wouldn't listen to the word of God. They wanted the false prophets. They wanted the smooth teachers. They wanted those who would give them just messages of encouragement and comfort and peace, peace, when there was no peace because there was no repentance. And the Lord was tired of this. He sent the prophets in. He had warned about this. He warned of the judgments to come, and they killed those prophets. They threw them in dungeons. They did everything they could to kill the message. So the worst ended up happening. The very temple that they adorned, that they loved, had gotten torn down and destroyed. The homes all were laid bare, and that nation, a people, had been hauled off into Babylon. They had been brought into the world, out of their community. It was an awful, awful, horrific time. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we have a time when they've returned back from the land of Babylon. They're standing there. They're looking at all the ashes. They're looking at the temple torn down. And in verses 8 through 10, chapters 8 through 10 of Nehemiah, they're renewing their covenant with the Lord. So this is an amazing section of scripture. They have freshly experienced the judgment of God. Here they are. Verse 1. When the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. Now you can't read that without being deeply touched with the fact of who is asking for what. They are asking for the word of God. 42,360 souls have gathered together in the open square. For years, they had not heard the word, and now it's burning within them. And the real question here is, had God not given them? Oh, God had sent the word, but days of famine had hit them. But here they were. They wanted the word. That's what we read in Nehemiah chapter 8, that they all came together and they asked Ezra for the word of the Lord. And I left you with this thought yesterday. Spirituality diminishes when a heart for and love for the word of God diminishes among the people. Martin Luther King had a dream. You all know what it was. They play it every year. I have a dream. I have a small-scale dream for my community. I have a large-scale dream for this nation. I have a larger-scale dream for this world. But to start in my own community, I have a dream for Lyndon, Washington. There's anyone from Lyndon listening? I have a dream for Lyndon. That what is pictured in Nehemiah chapter 8 would again become true here. Think about it for a moment. Dream with me for a minute. At the next Raspberry Festival, when people are all gathered together, that they all come downtown and there's an intense hunger for the Word of God. Give us a platform. Give us the Bible. We're not coming for the programs. We're not coming for the music. We're not coming for the entertainment value. But the cry is, give me the word of God, pure and simple. Give us that word. Give us that book. We understand Revelation 10, that it'll make our stomachs bitter, but when we taste it, it's as sweet as honey in our mouth. And you see, that's what happens. Verse 2, so Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding, the first day of the seventh month. You know what that is, right? Trumpets would be blown. This was a day of heralding. Then he read it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. before the men and women, and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. What a moment, isn't it? Dear listener, listen to this. This is amazing stuff. 42,000 people have gathered. From morning until midday, they simply stood and listened to hear the word of God. They didn't have microphones back then. They didn't have really good headsets. Finally, a time had come when their ears were attentive. And what were they reading? They're reading Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. This is the Pentateuch. What care they had for the word of God. And notice verse 5. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. What a scene. What I want you to notice is that they all were one. Notice this, dear listener. Men and women and children, all who could understand. Who was that? This is Deuteronomy 31. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. Your children need this. Your children need to stand and listen to the word of God. They need to hear it preached. In other words, putting it in conventional terms, stop the children's church. Stop sending my children out. Bring them back in. They don't know what they should know. And there's nothing more powerful than hearing the word of God. Bring them back. And notice that's what's emphasized here. So they read. Amazing verse, isn't it? From morning until midday. Hours upon hours of simply listening to the word of God. And they weren't separated out according to age groups as we do today. They weren't worried about the time, by the way. We live in a day when people can't sit through a 30-minute sermon without complaining. These people stood 5 hours through a reading sermon. And what this all demonstrated is that finally, the eyes of their hearts as one body were open to hear the word of God. The Spirit of God, again, was moving among this people who for years had abandoned the word, had done their own thing. They wouldn't listen to God. Their persistent rebellion and hardening their hearts against the word had brought judgment upon them. Do we hear this today? Does a city full of churches, a religious city, hear this? Does Linden hear this? Do their surrounding communities hear this? What a scene. What respect for the word. The gimmicks were done. The games were done. Showtime was done. When the word was brought in, they rose up. And there was trembling. There was understanding that God was speaking to them. You know, it's still customary in the Scottish churches that when the service begins, think about this happening today. I mean, there's just no respect for the word like there should be. When the service begins, a man called the Beadle enters carrying the Bible, in which he places it on the church's pulpit, and he opens it to that day's passage. And then he escorts the minister in. And as this is going on, all the people will rise up and remain standing until the minister is positioned behind the pulpit, which is designed to show the congregation that the minister has an assignment to expound the word of God as he stands behind it. And as that word is lifted up above all the people, the pulpit signifying the whole thing. Now, most of you in your churches have all but removed the pulpit. If it's there, I'm so thankful. I went to a church a long time ago to preach, and there was a pulpit you had to walk into, and I commented about it to one of the elders, and I said, you know, what an amazing pulpit to preach in. And he said to me, you want it? I said, what? He says, yeah, you can have it. We've just decided that, you know, it's an old thing and the young people don't respond to that anymore. We're going to get rid of it. We need to listen very carefully to God's word. Notice what the text emphasizes. Verse 4, and Ezra stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and on his right hand were the elders. And notice the emphasis in verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. Amazing moment. This platform of wood was not a stage for showmanship. Let me ask you a moment here, a question for discernment. Can you discern between that which is genuinely delivered in the demonstration of the Spirit and power in the Word, or a stage where a man is up there entertaining you? Can you make that distinction? Does he casually lounge up there, hit off some good jokes, sit on his bar stool, do everything that's casual, everything that focuses on him? The people are enamored with him. They listen to his message. It has a lot of good anecdotes. It's very down to earth. It's very human. There's nothing life-changing about it. He's just given the sense that we've come together to give kind of a rally, a good cheerleading speech for people to be encouraged in their journeys. Is that what you're getting? That's not what God has ordained. I promise you. God has ordained not a stage for showmanship. God always set apart a man. And if you look at the history of the Christian church, there was always a great platform of wood, a raised pulpit high above the people, and that man stood behind it. And he was a herald. He was a herald of God's word. It was a whole different kind of speaking. A speaking that was, yes, powerful, clear, but it shattered. It spoke with authority. Remember, that's what everyone hated Jesus for. That's what they were shocked about Jesus for. He spoke as one having authority, Matthew chapter 7, and not as all the hip teachers of the day. This pulpit was raised, platform of wood, and all the people were worshiping with their faces to the ground, and the symbolism was clear. The nation had again gathered under the word. That's the symbolism here. That's the respect here. They were not on equal ground. They were hearing God's spokesman. And there was such an overwhelming sense of God's presence, such reverence, such submission, such bowing before his holiness, understanding that they had again come to meet with the great God of heaven and earth under that word. You know, in the days of the Reformation, a pulpit was raised high up above the people. Men would have to walk up into it, plant their feet. They weren't embarrassed about this. The messengers wanted to decrease, and they wanted people to see Christ in the preaching. Let him increase as the word was front and center. That's why we have a pulpit. It holds the word of God, and the man standing there delivers God's message. And that's verse 8. So they read distinctively from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense, and they helped them to understand the reading. We need this. Apostle Paul said, give attention to the reading and exhortation. We need this again, don't we? We need a recovery of this. Will we hear God's call here? Give us the book. Give us the word. I see a people who want that. I'll see a revival like I've never seen before. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we ask humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. We have podcasts for you on our website, agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.